This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. For those of us, yours truly included here, who still keep an eye on the good old broadcast television calendar in this age of streaming and on-demand, some favorite series have started coming back from their winter hiatuses. On that list is The Good Place on NBC, back for season two, a creation of Michael Schur, who you might know from his other work, The Office, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mike Schur, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I should have said welcome back, because we had you on like five-ish years ago when Brooklyn Nine-Nine started.
That's right, yes.
Doing anything much since?
Brooklyn's still going. We just passed our 100th episode, although we celebrated with our 99th episode, which is fun. You
yes.
get it. Good.
I'm no dope, man. I'm no dope. I can't talk.
I just put the finishing touches on the second season of a show called The Good Place, which is on NBC, which is my current sort of main project.
So The Good Place, which is why I thought to speak with you. Were you just sitting around one day and said, and I'm getting at creative process here, sitting around one day and you said, so let's do a show about this utopia kind of place with a girl who shouldn't really be there shows up and we'll cast Kristen Bell and Ted Danson. Is that the way that happens?
If only it were that easy. The way it happened was I spent a lot of, after Parks and Recreation, which was my last show ended, I drove around L.A. and just existed in the universe and observed a lot of annoying behavior, as you do. Mm-hmm. People cutting you off in traffic and people throwing things on the ground and not picking up after themselves. And I had this game I played with myself where I would just say, that's negative 8 points. Like, if anyone's keeping score, that what you did right there, right. sir, cutting me off in traffic, that you just lost 8 points. And I started thinking about a world where actions have actual just point values that can be measured analyzed and broken down. And that led me to the afterlife. And I thought, what if it's a game and the people with the highest scores get into the good place and people with the lowest scores get into the bad place? One thing led to another. And then I came up with this idea that a woman who wasn't great gets into the great place and sort of
because there's been like a bookkeeping error?
Some kind of clerical error is what it appears to be. I don't want to give away too many spoilers. At first, what it appears to be is some kind of clerical error and that she has to figure out how to become a good person in order to stay.
When you finally came up with your pitch, because you are Mike Schur of Parks and Rec fame, et cetera, I imagine people said, yes, please, come do the show with us.
Well, you're very kind to say that. The actual situation was when Parks and Recreation ended, NBC asked me to do another show for them and sort of promised me that I could kind of skip the line, as it were, and just get a show on the air.
So the answer to your question, Kai, is yes.
Yes, yeah. They basically said, we'll give you a 13-episode guarantee, which is a very rare thing, and I felt very fortunate. And so I'm a hard worker, I would say. And so I spent a lot of time crafting the idea because I wanted to not feel like I was taking advantage of their generosity.
You said 13-episode season. I thought standard TV episode seasons were 22 episodes.
Until very recently, that was the case. But the way that the world is moving, in part because of Netflix, Amazon,
fast,
Hulu.
Fast, 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 baby. Right?
Fast, and also, it used to be that you did that many episodes in a season because there was this mad dash to 100. 100 was the magic number to get to syndication.
Right.
Now, it's less. There's the syndication market kind of doesn't exist. What does exist is Hulu and Amazon and Netflix. So they don't care how many episodes you have. They just pay you per season and per episode. So it's less important that you do so many so quickly. It's more important that you make them good.
You are a showrunner. Is that the right word?
Yeah. It's an unofficial term. It's not.
That means you're a made man, right? Right?
Yeah, if you so much as threaten me, a bunch of other showrunners will show up. And
how do you learn how to do that?
From someone who's already doing it. There's
really?
No other way. There's a sort of sink or swim aspect to it. Like,
well, yeah.
TV creation is the only world where you can literally not have ever done it before. And then 1 second later, you're in charge of basically a corporation with about 150 employees.
That doesn't seem very smart.
Sometimes it works out really well, and sometimes it's not so good. But in my case, I learned it by watching Greg Daniels and just seeing, like, here's what he did and here's how he does it. And it's appropriate for this show because you have to – it's not just a creative enterprise. It's an economic enterprise.
Yeah.
You're in charge of your budget, and you need to make decisions about – what you value and how much you value it, and you have to fight for more money, and you have to make deals, and there's a lot that goes on that is sort of you learn only by doing it.
That's so funny. You have to fight for more money. I always just imagine that the for-profit land is like, here, have as much money as you want.
No, the opposite. They are trying to minimize the amount of money that they spend on your product. And take, for example, like a hiatus week. So you shoot 4 or 5 episodes in a row, and then you have a built-in hiatus week where you the writing staff can sort of regroup and regenerate, and you have a little more time to relax. Those hiatus weeks are expensive because you have to pay to hold your crew across that week. You can't just... So those hiatus weeks are several $100,000 of money that's just being thrown away. Given to the crew.
Not productively.
Right. Yeah. And so what happens when they want to cut costs? Well, they start saying, do you really need that hiatus week? Yeah. Or can it be 3 hiatus days and then we start shooting on Thursday? So you have to know everything about the way the economics of the show work in order to be able to fight for the territory that you really need.
How do you feel about TV right now? There's this whole peak TV thing and so much content and so many opportunities for content providers to get stuff out. What's your sense?
It's great for people like me. It's great for consumers because they have more options than ever and everything is on demand. Yeah. The question that I have, and I think that everybody has, is the growth sustainable? I mean, we've gone from 150 shows were eligible for the Emmys, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. It's now over 500.
Really?
And that's just scripted. Then forget about unscripted documentaries. Mm-hmm. Netflix is making movies now. There's all sorts of entertainment options that didn't exist 10 years ago. My question is, I mean, we don't have time. None of us have time to watch all of the TV. If you read reviews of TV now, you say like, well, there's probably 30 shows that people are saying, this is a wonderful, amazing, incredible show that you actually have to watch now. None of us have time for that in our lives. So I don't know whether we can keep growing this fast.
Mike Schur, you know him from, a bunch of stuff. Parks and Rec, The Office, most recently, The Good Place. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.